Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's springtime in Pennsylvania. The leaves are out, flowers are out, grass is growing. No woodpecker today. Well, he's been making his rounds up and down the street. So. Well, today we are pursue Christ-like virtues. I think it's interesting how sometimes churches emphasize the different gifts and virtues, fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you get on a particular gift or only on the gifts of the Spirit, and others, they're saying, well, there is, that's all gone, and, these are the things that's here today. And, well, the bottom line is both are here. The gifts are here, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are here. One of the things I always remember, fruits grow, and and the gifts are imparted. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are imparted by the Holy Spirit to us. Now, as we, and I think of it in the context that whatever you have need of, God is going to supply, okay? So, if God is going to supply all my needs, well, sometimes we forget that in our work of service for God, that God is going to supply our need in the work that we do. So, what are we doing? Where are we at? What work are we involved in? Who are we interacting with? And our witness for Christ is in that interaction. So what do we have need of in that interaction? So whether it's a fruit, and we'll talk about them, or whether it's a gift, God is going to impart what it is that we need. So sometimes whenever we think that God will supply all of our needs, well, we think of our grocery list, I need this, I need this, I need this. Okay, God, here's my grocery list. Well, it's more than just a list of things that we would consider that we need. It is, everybody always says it's needs and wants, I think God knows what I want, and I'm sure he's going to provide it shortly. But, right. What's that? Go ahead, dear. What?
No. Something that's... I was agreeing with what Cliff said. Sometimes we don't know what we need, and something comes to us that is something we're going to need for something in the future.
Right. Well, I think the Holy Spirit is always preparing us for what's coming, I think. So as we find, where did this come from? Well, perhaps you're going to need it in another day or two. So whenever you are thinking of these things that God, whether it's like, back when I was younger, we used to talk about ESP, extrasensory perception. People were always having these, women have extrasensory perception. That's what they have, yeah. Men don't have no perception at all, So, but anyhow, it isn't, for a Christian, it isn't ESP. It is the awareness of the Holy Spirit making us aware, of what we have need of or what is coming, letting us know that God is in control. He's got this. So those little things that come, I think this is, what about this? Or what about this happening? And the next thing you know, there it is. And people say, oh, deja vu. No, it's not deja vu. It's it's ESP, yeah, it's God saying, hey, I got this. I'm letting you know there's a curve ahead. There's a road sign. There's a curve on the road. What's that doing? It's letting us know there's a curve ahead. Well, God is telling us, hey, there's this ahead. And sure enough, there is a curve. So the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are central to Paul's teaching about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that God is with us, never going to leave us nor forsake us. God is going to supply all of our needs, that he has called us, he has a plan for us, purpose. And so our life is very much ingrained into the will of God and the purpose of God for our life. Now, we're the ones that have a hard time figuring it out, that, well, I wonder if this is God's will. I wonder. Well, in the midst of that problems, we know that God has a plan, a purpose, and a route for us to go through. So both the fruits and the gifts have their place in the worship that we have in the local church. So, and I think of that the idea of the worship is that everything we do, it's basically an act of worship. I think it's in here a little later. It talks about, in the Old Testament, it talks about a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was a dead sacrifice. And, you know, they took an animal and they killed it, and that was the sacrifice for the sin. Well, Paul is telling us, we're a living sacrifice. And there's nothing dead about us. And the part that I was thinking, that was brought out in the lesson that I hadn't really thought about, God owns the sacrifice. The sacrifice belongs to him before we give it to him. Okay, because God asked for the first fruits. God asked for that, you know, every year they would, the lamb, the sacrifice for the blood of the lamb would be shed for the remission of sins for the people, the goats, the scapegoat, the goat that was sacrificed. The scapegoat was, the priest put his hands on the scapegoat and they take it far out away from the camp so it wouldn't be found. That was a scapegoat. Well, if we remember that our sins are forgiven, and that they are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Scapegoat. So Christ has provided us. So whenever we think of that God owns, God is not only the provision of the sacrifice and the forgiveness, he also owns it. So whenever we become a living sacrifice, Paul says we're dead to ourselves and we're alive to Christ. So God owns it. So whatever we are giving back to God, he already owns it. And if he owns it and we are giving it back to him, that's saying to us, that's saying from us to God, we recognize your ownership. So whenever I say thank God for situations that I don't want to thank God for, I'm recognizing his ownership of the situation, and I'm just trusting how it's going to turn out. So these are the, you know, the aspects of when, you know, the aspects of our faith is that we are trusting God, that he has a plan and a purpose in all of the routes that we take in life, and that he knows what route we're on and he knows the direction we're taking. So the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit are the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in the individual believer, which is in the body of Christ. So I always had, whenever I would go to the churches where they had big conflicts and all that kind of stuff, they would consider themselves spiritual. But the gift of love, Paul says here in the lesson in Corinthians 12, he talks about how that I show you a more excellent way. You know, you want all, you know, they were in Corinth, they were fighting and arguing over who was best and who was following the best teacher and who had the best gifts and who had all of these things, and they were just at each other. And Paul's saying, hey, people, you know, if you don't have love, all this stuff is garbage. You're just making a lot of noise. Even if you go out and get burned at the stake, which they were, you know, they were being burnt by Nero and used as lanterns. So even if you gave your body to be burned, but if you didn't have love in your heart, that meant nothing. You know, you show up at heaven and say, hey, God, look at me, I was a martyr. God says, you didn't do that for me. I would have known. That's little. Anyhow, Did you like that, Ken? Thank you. All right. So anyhow, we God owns the place, and so our sacrifice and our allowing God to give us wisdom, understanding, we have a kind of an insight into the roadmap ahead of us. So Paul does not elevate the fruit of the Spirit over spiritual gifts, neither does he place strong emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit to neglect the fruit of the Spirit. And I always felt that people who considered themselves more spiritual and yet were using their spirituality to keep other people in their place really didn't have the gifts that they thought they did. You know? And they really didn't have the grounds for the division that they were creating because they were superior to someone else. And it was like, that's totally against what the scripture teaches us, and yet people, you know, they would continue to put, you know, others and churches and denominations and, you know, towns, you know, it's like, school pride. We're better than this town. Why? Because we're it, you know. Well, what about them? Well, they're not it because we're here and they're not, so it's us, you know. And they're no good over there. They're a bunch of reprobates and everything over there, but over here we're good, you know. And, you know, it's not the way it is. Well, it's the same thing in the church. When you find people who are in conflict, you find people who are not allowing God's love to be in their person. Now, it doesn't mean we have to lay down on the ground and get walked over. That's not what it means. But it means that we are to love them, but yet you don't seek revenge, but you love and allow God to direct you because he's going to give the gifts and the fruits and so on, what you need. He'll give you a word of wisdom, you know, word of knowledge. He'll give you insight. What do we need to do here? Things like that. So, love is patient and love is kind. It never seeks to divide. It's never prideful or boastful. Love strives to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Love is to express itself in the manifestation of the gifts, spiritual gifts. But more than that, the foremost fruit of the Spirit, love, is to be the controlling factor in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. That is the more excellent way. If you don't love people and you use the gifts to put people in their place, your gift is not really from God. God didn't initiate that. So, I've had that happen too. Yeah, people have message from God and they were putting me in my place. It's like, okay, I don't think this is the Spirit. I like what the one guy said. He said, somebody comes up to him and says, you know, his television name or his celebrity name was, say, Bob. And God says to you, Bob, and he says, stop. My name isn't Bob. To God, my name is Robert. He stopped him right there. And he says, God knows my name. You don't. And he left. I like that one. Oh, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm always, okay. You know. Talk to the hand. Oh, well, if you got a message from God. But anyhow, okay, I beseech you, therefore, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, first of all, all these things are given to us, made provisions for us by the mercies of God. So the mercy of God is an extension of who God is and what God's intention is. So God's intentions are mercy. All right? Now, we think, well, God's a God of judgment. Every time God spoke in ways of judgment, it was so that the people could recognize how far off course they were it was an expression of grace and mercy to get them back on course. Okay, so there are judgments, and we will be held accountable, but we got a whole lifetime to make it right. It's just we don't know when the lifetime's over. So we've got this inclination then of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is what God's gifts and fruits are about. They're planted in mercy, love and mercy. That God is not out to destroy you. God is out to build you up and bring you in, bring you back, to enable you to become part of the body of Christ. So the body has many varied parts, but it's still the same body. So we can't put it out. We can't say that you're not important. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we are alive to Christ, dead to sin. And we're not all dead, but we still have temptations and trials. So anyhow, we are a living sacrifice, so we are alive. And you know, whenever we're talking about giving praise to God, we're giving praise to God knowing that He owns this place. We are caretakers. We are custodians of this person. We are custodians of everything that's in our hands and in our everything that we have, everything we have touch with, whether it's physically or verbally or, you know, influential. We all recognize that it is that we are a living sacrifice and that we are living this life for God, which is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we are a living sacrifice, which is the only reasonable service conclusion that we can come to. God created us. God provided salvation for us, and He has given us His Spirit, He is going to divide severally as we need the gifts in our life and cause the fruits as we focus on Christ to grow. Now, it's our reasonable service. This is not unreasonable for God to ask us to do this, because when we are doing this reasonable service, we are also fulfilling who we are as a person. So God is not asking me to do something that is contrary to what He designed us for at the very beginning. You know, we were designed for this purpose. And our reasonable service, when we come back to that reasonable place in our relationship with God and allowing the gifts and the fruits to be part of who we are, it is really the fulfilling the plan, fulfilling the design for which we were created. So, and be not conformed to this world. The presenting of ourselves as a living sacrifice requires a change in the way we think. All right? That's verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we have to renew our thinking. This, you know, Paul says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. Do you ever wonder what is spiritually mature and what is spiritually immature? You know? So age doesn't make I've been in the way for 50 years. Yeah. I've been in the way. What's that? We can start a club on that one. I've been in the way. Yes. And you're not going to get me out of the way. One guy says, I've been here for many preachers, and I'll still be here after you're gone. He told the pastor that. I said, okay, brother, you've been in the way for a long time. But we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It's a little later in the scriptures, but it's like, don't have pride in who you are. Recognize that who we are is because of Christ. So we can have pride in who Christ is in us and helped us to do. But whenever we are proud of who we are, we've put God over here and look what I've done. You know. I, me, and mine. I like the preacher went out to visit, I probably told you this. Preacher went out to visit the farmer. And, you know, he looks at his fields and he says, and they're plowed and planted with corn. He says, my, look what God has done. Goes over to the pasture field and there's the cows grazing and green pasture. He says, wow, look what God has done. Hay field goes over and there it is mowed and everything in line. He says, look what God has done. The farmer says, excuse me, pastor, you should have seen it when God had it by himself. So anyhow. All right, so we are a living sacrifice. A change in our thinking enables us to live a dedicated life day by day. There's another thing I wanted to see here. Okay, so life has its challenges because we live in this present world. And, you know, the world that we live in, you know, well, what about all these bad things? Well, evil people do evil things. All right, and that evil things that they do, we see around us, it affects us, and sometimes it's directly impacts our lives, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's, you know, me blowing the horn at somebody who cut me off instead of them blowing the horn at me, which makes me worse. But anyhow, I don't do such things. I'm a living sacrifice for God. I offer praise to God for the stupid people that what's that?
These dumb sheep,
you know, where's their shepherd at, you know? Yeah, get out of my way. Don't you know who I think I am, you know? So renewing of our mind, you know, we used to say, let's finish the scripture. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. When I was a kid growing up in the church, it was, you know, the emphasis was not on education. The emphasis was on the leading of the Holy Spirit and being called into the ministry and things like that. And it was very important because many of the people who were called never went to school. You know, the guy who started the church in Indiana, he was a coal miner. And he had a mule. And they, you know, he dug coal and he was called to the ministry. And there has never been anyone that I've known that's been able to touch that guy. And he's deceased. But in his whole life and his whole ministry of 50 some years, I still know no one who can touch that man, all right? And he had very little education, but he had a tremendous calling. But also at that time, that's why I think today we suffer from the education through the colleges and universities have rejected God is because there was a whole time period in which we felt that was the world, but it was actually the church that started the education system. You know, started the higher learning and things like that. Did you know, I didn't know this when I went to high school, but the high school that I went to was actually a preparatory school for people going into the ministry. You know, it was like there was a couple hundred miles between that school and the next one. And it was started by a minister as a preparatory school. And not everybody who came out of there was prepared for the ministry, but... But it, oh yeah, and in my class there was say 70 people in there, and there are five ministers.
And there's even generations.
Yeah, yeah. So mercy exists every place. So anyhow, we need to be transformed. Refers to an inward change of heart, and the inward transformation. In response to our faith in Christ, that there is a transformation. We are renewed from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. You know, I got to do the right thing in order to be acceptable by God. No, I've got to depend upon God to do what's right in my heart and mind to live for Him. So, next. verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, through the grace given him. Now, grace is that, you know, unmerited favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives to respond to his call to become his children. So it is the free and undeserved help that God gives to respond. So for through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. To think of his importance and his abilities above everybody else. If you think the world can't live without you, you're in for it. If you think that people are never going to make it without you, it's not true. But you see, that's thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. It doesn't mean that we're no good. Shame-based thinking is, I'm no good, I can be no good, and I'll never be good. You know, that's shame-based. That's not Bible-based, okay? So whenever we think of ourselves correctly, that I am a child of God, I am a sacrifice to God, God will impart the gifts and fruits of his Spirit into my life to help me achieve what he wants me to have in my life, and that this mission that I'm on, you know, is of value. So the value that I have is that God is working through me. So when I think of myself as better than other people, I've moved outside of the, you know, I made these things happen. So, but to think soberly, according to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, a purpose designed for service. God has given us a purpose designed for service to him, which is our reasonable service. And a measure of faith is, I always liken this to people who say, you know, I don't believe in God. Okay? I said, well, that's what you've done with your faith. God has given you a measure of faith. Now, what do you believe? I believe the world is crooked and I believe it's all going to fall. Okay. Okay, you've taken your measure of faith and you've planted it in something. You see, we recognize that God has given to us a measure of faith, and so we place it in God and in his word. You know, so we don't put it in other people, or we know that we are to trust. Trust has to be earned, not given. So whenever we have a measure of faith, we are allowing the measure that we had. Now, what happens whenever you plant a kernel of corn? You get an ear. What happens when you plant the whole ear and with all of the kernels individually? You get, you know, you start a field. Well, that's what we do with our measure of faith. So people believe in nothing. It takes as much faith to believe there is no God. It's still a belief. Right. Well, Muslims are allowed to have their faith. But you see, every man is given a measure of faith, and what you've done with it and how we've used it. You see, that's why whenever we look at the teachings of Christ in the scriptures, we have a measure of faith that God has given to us, and it's our reasonable service to God that God owns this place and he is helping me through this whole thing. For we are members in one body. And all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Okay? So mutually dependent means that we cannot elevate one above the other. The eye cannot say to the hand, the foot to the ear, you know. So in the body of Christ, we do not elevate one position over another because we're all interdependent. Amen. So the gift of prophecy. So then we have the gifts of the Spirit. It's time for me to quit. The gifts of the Spirit are the gift of prophecy, which is, we said, it's often connected with foretelling, forthtelling the message, and also sometimes giving us insight into the future. from God giving us. The gift of ministry include ministry to the poor, the homeless, preparing meals, assisting the sick, the disabled, and other charitable service. So there's the gift of ministries. There's the gift of teaching, which is being able to be an instructor, rightly dividing the word of truth. Gifts of the apostleship and prophecy before this gift, but anyhow. The gift of exhortation, edification, exhortation, and comfort. The gifts, that's what we see in the scriptures, is that the primary work of the Holy Spirit is to edify, exhort, and comfort. And exhortation is, you know, we can do this. Yeah, it's uplifting. The gift of giving sounds like Hallmark. Yeah, that's it. So we have the gift of giving. Rather than the gift of the Spirit, we often think of giving as a fruit of the Spirit. Perhaps this warns us not to make a hard and fast distinction between the fruits and the gifts, because they are interchangeable. If you don't have love, gifts don't work properly. If you have all, if I have all knowledge but don't have love, see? The gift of ruling. That's the. I thought all the ladies would go, I got that gift. The gift of ruling. What? If that's it, you know. If you're in charge, you're in charge. That's just how it is. And the gift of mercy. Fruit of the Spirit, mercy expresses God's goodness and compassion towards those who, those in trouble or those who have pain and sorrow. So let love be without dissimulation. Love is the sincere and active, real thing without guile and hypocrisy. That's what it is. Dissimulation, let love be without dissimulation. Let it be sincere and active, without hypocrisy and without, I'll give you this, but you owe me. Kindly affection one to another, preferring one another is giving preference, not putting ourselves to shame that somebody, everybody else is always better than me. No. You know, you're standing in line and you let somebody in front of you, that's giving them preference. That doesn't mean that you're no good. It's just that you are stepping aside for them to step forward. So that's giving preference. That doesn't mean you lay down on the ground and let them step on you. So just wanted to clarify that. Preferring one, not slothful, not lazy. In business, fervent, aglow in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. We have confidence in Christ. Rejoicing in hope is confidence in Christ. Patient in tribulation. Patient whenever we are in distress. Continuing instant in prayer. Continuously seeking the wisdom, guidance, and strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, being instant in prayer and in season and out of season. Used to be you got to preach. You got to be able to preach, pray, or die in a moment's notice. That's what they told preachers way back when.
I never quite understood that, but like when you were first in the ministry and you described it, that was said over and over and over again. You always have to be ready to be called upon to share God's word. You know?
Yeah, no matter where you're at, be ready to preach, pray, or die in a moment's notice.
Here I was just graduating from college and I needed a lesson plan.
Yeah. No, preachers don't need a sermon. They don't need to write it down. God will inspire them. Yeah.
We had one of those preachers in England.
Yeah.
He wasn't prepared. He wasn't inspired.
He wasn't prepared. He wasn't inspired, and it wasn't strengthening or edifying. And he just kept preaching the same thing over and over again for about 45 minutes, you know. Distributing to the necessities of the saints and given to hospitality, making everybody feel welcome. And that's one thing we are. Everyone, make everyone feel welcome. So anyhow, There's a lot more. Love is the next section. And bless those that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Sharing. Sharing and caring. We don't have to have answers. Just your presence. Be of the same mind one toward another. You know, it's okay. We're all having the body of Christ. We're all part of it. And we each have our individual unique services. I know, Ken, I said I was going to quit, but then it's the end of the lesson. So, it means when a preacher says I'm about done. He's not. So anyhow, we see how the Spirit, again, works in our life, and it's part of who we are and where we go and what we do, and, you know, we have a purpose. Purpose is to serve God. As we serve Him, we'll find ourselves serving others. Father, we thank You for blessing and guiding and strengthening us and for the edification of Your Spirit and Your Word. Teach us, O Lord, the renewing of our mind and the strengthening of our spirit and our character. And in those dark places, may we see always Your light shining on our path, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.